Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. We're going to be joined shortly by Governor Deval Patrick, who'll be here to take your calls and comments, and he'll talk to us about why he thinks he should be reelected governor. But first, we're going to talk about last night's final debate in the gubernatorial race. We have with us former state representative and our Democratic analyst, Susan Tracy. We also have Republican analyst, Jack Clancy. Susan and Jack, thanks to both of you for being here.
Sure. Hi, Sasha.
First off, tell us if you thought there were any surprises last night or if it was a little bit of a sleepy debate for the final one. Susan, why don't you start first?
Yeah, I thought it was a very sleepy debate. And I think, you know, from my perspective, without a game-changing moment, the governor wins.
And Jack, you, were there any game-changing moments in your view?
I'd have to agree with Susan. Certainly no game changers. A real dud for a final debate, not the kind of debate a challenger really needed at that point.
And Jack, do you agree with Susan that if there wasn't a game-changing moment, which both of you seem to agree there wasn't, then the governor wins, as Susan thinks?
That's a conventional wisdom. Typically, a challenger has to make up ground in the final debate. If indeed the debates really are where people make their decision, you would hope the undecideds are there to try to figure out who they can find some love for in the end. And I think also undecideds typically figure, I need to hate somebody coming out of this. And I doubt that they found that out at any of the four.
So no more love and no more hate. It's just people came out neutral.
I think so.
We have a sound from one of the more heated moments last night, and this is between Deval Patrick and Charlie Baker over taxes.
The governor's only proposal, from what I can tell, to deal with the current $2 billion problem is going to be to raise taxes. And that's exactly
You've never
the wrong
heard that proposal.
To send.
You've
that's
never
exactly...
heard that proposal from me. You've been saying that for 15 months, and you've never heard that from me.
Jack and Susan, do you want to comment on that exchange?
Maybe a tiny contentious moment of the evening. There weren't a lot. I think the governor did a good job of coming back and denying that. However, Charlie, of course, could easily say, well, you did raise taxes 8 times.
Yeah, I mean, I think whenever you're talking about taxes as a Democratic nominee, you know, that's not a good storyline for you. So that might have been the only moment from my perspective in the debate where, you know, and the governor pushed back on it, certainly. But the only moment in the debate, if you're the governor, you kind of wish that moment didn't happen.
So it sounds like both of you seem to think that the governor has retained his lead for now and that Charlie Baker didn't do enough to try to close the gap between him and Deval Patrick.
I think so. I don't think this debate and the moderator really gave a chance for Charlie to get anywhere. I mean, he was more interested in asking Miss America pageant questions than anything else.
These are questions about their favorite, you know, they are sort of more, what were, I suppose, intended to be more personal get-to-know-the-candidate questions.
Well,
yeah, with 1 week to go in the campaign, I think, you know, finding out who their act or the book they're reading, their most recent splurge and their virtues were probably not top of the list for an undecided voter looking at the race.
I assume the moderator just hoped to try to push them beyond the usual talking points in what it was the final debate and hope that maybe something personal unearthed might change people's minds. Do you think that's why he went that route?
You know, I don't know why he went that route. It does seem with an hour, you know, to kind of really get stuff going, that to go down those paths. I mean, these are seasoned debaters by this point, you know, to sort of screw up on your favorite actor and book, although maybe Jill Stein did.
Yeah, really.
You know, you'd be hard to really make your major gaffe there.
I agree. I didn't like that idea at all. I thought it was a bad move, frankly, and unkind maybe to all the participants except for maybe the leader.
Yeah.
Yesterday, this big dig memo was made public. This is the memo written by Charlie Baker. He basically really criticized the rising costs of the big dig project, but it was a memo that was written to his file, not to anyone in particular. So Deval Patrick says this shows that he was just not addressing the cost issue head on. Charlie Baker says, no, it shows that I was very aware of the cost issue and I was fiscally responsible. The moderator pressed Charlie Baker very hard on that last night. Did the two of you feel that Charlie Baker adequately handled the questions to him about that big dig memo and the big dig costs?
Yeah. If taxes were the toughest moment for Governor Patrick, I think the big dig moment, you'd have to say, was the toughest moment for Charlie Baker.
I agree with Susan on that. And I do think Charlie probably pressed a little more than a neutral moderator really should be pressing, frankly.
Here, we have some sound of them sparring over that memo. And here's that sound. First, we're going to hear Baker.
The bottom line was we were continuing to grow the level of spending that we were seeing on the statewide side. At the same time, we had a fixed set of expenses associated with the dig. And I think it was exactly the kind of memo, frankly, that we should see out there.
And here's Governor Deval Patrick on that same memo.
We all knew that the big dig financing plan was flawed from the start. It turns out Charlie knew it was flawed from the start and for political reasons didn't make that that public.
So, either of you want to comment on those two remarks?
I think the interesting phrase in Charlie Baker's response is, this is the memo that we should see out there. And as we know, that memo was buried in a file and, you know, all of the recommendations were asked to be not acted upon until after the election. So it's kind of an interesting that you use the phrase that this is what you should see out there when the memo was never meant to be seen.
Yeah, and I think Deval's follow-up line, you kept it in the drawer, was probably his best line of the night, and Charlie had no comeback for it. Memogate sort of came up and blew up cleverly on Monday and on the night of debate. I'm not sure I really like the way that worked out, but it was a tough one for Charlie.
The governor has been asked repeatedly about the state economy and how he's handled the Massachusetts economy, and you know he often points to the unemployment rate being pretty good compared to other states, although at the same time we just heard that the latest jobs numbers show that many jobs were lost even as the unemployment rate was dropping, which seems to indicate some people sort of gave up out of a sense of hopelessness. Do you feel like to whatever degree that issue came up last night that the governor defended his handling of the economy during the past few years well?
The governor used the term global economic meltdown twice. I think if he had used it a third time last night, that might have spelled real doom for him. I'm not sure he handled it terribly well, and I think blaming others really isn't going to help.
Yeah, I mean, obviously no one wants to have job losses, you know, just like Charlie Baker doesn't want the big dig memo out. I'm sure Governor Patrick was not thrilled that the number of jobs decreased in the last report. But I don't feel like that was a moment in the debate that people are talking about afterwards.
And Jack, that comment about global economic meltdown, you think that Deval Patrick is trying to say, look, I happen to come in office just as a major recession hit, that a lot of this was beyond my control. Is that the idea?
You know, I think you get to say that once a night, maybe. He said it twice. He also applied it, I believe, to the topic of why there aren't 1,000 cops on the streets that he promised. I'm not sure that listeners, you know, want to hear using it to virtually for everything that you promised that didn't come through. And so,
On the other hand, it is the truth. I mean, I think all of us would agree that, you know, it has been the worst economic time that most of us remember in our lifetime. And, you know, so there is reality to that. So I don't find it some, like, you know, reason that you're not getting things done. I think it's the reality of the times.
Thank you very much to both of you for that recap of last night. Susan Tracy is a former state representative and our Democratic analyst, and Jack Clancy is our Republican analyst. Thanks to both of you for being available.
Bye, Jack. Bye, Sasha.
You're welcome.
Yes.
See you soon.
Bye-bye.